Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Right. Good morning, everybody. Anybody glad to be in God's house today? Do me a favor and help me welcome everyone watching online. Say hello to your church family watching online. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for watching. Let me see if I can fix this right quick. Let's see. Yes, thank you very much. I also do IT. I'm here all morning. Thank you guys for being. I'm so excited about this morning's message, and I want to get to it, but I want to make sure that I do the hard work of keeping us all on the same page in terms of, you know, some important things that are going on around our church over the next few days and weeks. And so I want to run through this really quick. Our Christmas Eve services, Jeremiah covered it really well. In the lobby when you leave, we have invite cards, and they can also serve as reminder cards for you as to when the services are, because they're all different than our normal service time. The thing I want to highlight is during this season, it's an awesome opportunity to invite friends and family to worship with you. So I hope that you bring friends and family to worship with you. I ask you to kind of do random acts of kindness, and I generally take my own advice on this matter, on this subject as well. And so I went through the drive-thru, and I paid for the car behind me, and gave the lady the invite card at the window to, hey, will you give this to the car behind me? And I said, how much is it? And they said, like $2.36. So I got off easy, ladies and gentlemen. So I got to go back and do it again, because I just didn't feel enough to do. So I can do a little bit better than that. So I'll be going back. But we wanted to attach those invitations and those acts of generosity to God. And so that's why we gave you those cards. So grab those and use them. Sunday, December 31st is obviously New Year's Eve. We're going to be here on our normal regular schedule. So after Christmas Eve services, we'll be on our regular schedule. And you don't want to miss this service. I'm going to talk about the things that are happening in 2018. This will be also the last weekend for our legacy gifts to be received, and I'll be able to give you an update after the first of the year. We're making really, really good progress. 21 days of prayer. I'm also going to add to this. Some of you already know this. I'm going to be doing prayer and fasting. And if you go to the website, morelifechurch.com/prayer, there'll be some information about details on when we're going to pray together. We'll tell you that as well another time. There'll also be a link for you to get some resources on fasting. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to get into all the subject that I would like to on fasting. And some of you are like, I don't know about that fasting thing. And so, you know, you want to kind of look at that and do it in a healthy way. And there are many forms of fasting. So you can go to morelifechurch.com/prayer for that. And then our message series beginning in January, I'm really, really looking forward to this. It's the subject detox. Now, we're not all going to go through a juice cleanse and all that stuff together. But I was recently in a session where I was having a conversation. My wife and I regularly go and speak with someone to help us with our emotional health, and we do that as a couple, like for our own counseling. And so nobody freaks out. There's nothing wrong with our marriage, except for that we're two imperfect people trying to travel through this journey together. We believe this, and I hope you believe this too. Maybe you haven't heard me say this before, but I believe that you're supposed to regularly maintain your marriage and your relationship. And in fact, I believe in going to talk to someone before something's wrong, and that will help you so that things, when they do get tough, you can have a baseline to kind of to walk along. And so he was talking to me, the counselor was talking to me, he's a doctor, and he was talking to me about relationships and the negative power of unhealthy relationships, and how it's necessary to, from time to time, detox relationally. And so it just birthed a whole bunch of thoughts in my heart and my life. And so this whole month, I can't do it in one weekend, so the whole month, we're going to talk about and teach you how to detox spirit, soul, and body, and it's going to be phenomenal, and God's going to get into our world. So having said all that, I don't have a lot of time, so get your, if you're taking notes, get your notes out ready, and get your pen ready, and I'll get through this really, really quickly, depending on how fast you listen. If you listen slow, it's going to take me longer, so I need you to listen, real fast, and we'll get through it. Today, I want to talk to you about getting past your past. Turn to your neighbor and say this with a smile on your face. Say, there's something you need to get past. Go ahead and tell them. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, y'all had fun with that one. I can, some of you are like, hey, let's do this. Let's talk about this. And every one of us, we have something in our world from the past that tends to haunt us from time to time, where the pain of something can come back and catch us off guard. A lot of us have that to deal with. Some of us, maybe you don't have it that way. And here's what I want to encourage you. Don't disconnect. Don't like disengage. Don't click off and stop watching online. Here's what I want you to think through the lens of. If you're like, I can't think of anything right now that's coming after me. Listen, okay, that's fine. But would it be that God would use you to help someone else who's stuck in their past get past their past? That God can use you to help them if you're not dealing with it right now. So last week, I had this kind of this thing come back. The way my mind works, it might not be exactly the way yours works, but from time to time, I'll have like flashbacks. And attached to those flashbacks will be certain kinds of emotions. Sometimes it will be embarrassment, like, oh my Lord, I can't believe I said that. Sometimes it'll be the emotion or the feeling of fear, like, man, what are they going to say in response to me doing that? Like, my mind will go to a certain place, and then when my mind goes to that certain place, the old emotions that were attached in that moment kind of reattach and resurface. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to anybody? Okay, so this happened, and this happened last week, and I was talking to some college students and hearing from some college students, and I had a flashback because they said that they were going through finals week last week and the week before, and my mind flashed back to those moments when I was doing finals and tests, and I thought to myself, no matter how bad this week gets, I am not in college doing finals. Someone say amen to that. Like, no matter what happens, I'm not doing that this week. So some college students that are home, we're glad y'all are here. Some college students watching, we're glad y'all are watching. But there's stuff in our past, or we're in a position where maybe we can help some people. And I want you to look at this verse that we looked at last week. I'm going to take it a little bit further this weekend. God says this, come now, not later, not next week, not next month, not 3 days from now, come right now. See, so many times the stuff in our past, we just don't deal with it. We never make it a priority to say, okay, now is the moment in which we deal with that. And the reason, I think in part, that we don't do that is because we know when we confront the things of the past, that often the pain that is attached to that past comes into our present. And so we never get to the now moment. It's always, I don't want to deal with that. I've kind of let it go so far a little bit. But he says this, come right now and let's settle it. I believe, guys, that today can be the service where some things in your life you get settled once and for all. And it doesn't have to come back and haunt you. The pain of the ghosts of Christmas past don't have to come back and haunt you. And so I did something weird this week. I looked up the origins of the word wreath. How many like wreaths, like Christmas wreaths? Some of you are like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to like them or not, so I'm going to wait until later. It's okay if you like them, but I do the hard work for you. I looked up the definition of wreath, okay? And so I looked it up and found the origin comes from the word wraith, which is also connected to the word where we get wrath, which is interesting. And I'm not suggesting that you're hanging wrath on your windows. Some of you might have done it that way. If it was cold enough, there was probably some anger attached to it. But the word means this, and this will make sense, to twist. to twist. And the word wraith is also where we get the word that that we get the word ghosts. Now, we all know ghosts. I don't personally believe ghosts are real, although I would say this, that things from our past come back to haunt us. And I would say, just like that wreath that's twisted, to twist that greenery together, that these things from our past are a distortion, a twisting of what happened in our world. And it keeps us stuck because it takes our past and it twists it and distorts it and conforms us into a form of thinking that prevents us from really, really, really living free. And so I want to help you untwist some things today. I want to help you untwist some things and us to move forward. He says, let's settle this. Though your sins are like scarlet, though the past is a bloody mess, it's just been a wreck for some of us. Though that's what our past is like, he says, I'll make them as white as snow. So when I say white Christmas, let's be real clear. I'm not praying that it snows this year at Christmas, although you might be, and that's cool. What I'm talking about is the condition of our heart. That's what this verse is talking about, that the condition of our heart is white like snow. And he says this, though they're red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool if you will only obey me. And last week, we spent all of our time on those two words, obey me. And I just simply said to you this, that if we're going to do this God's way, it's going to be counterintuitive. What's that mean? It means it's against the grain. It's not our typical response. When you've been hurt, abused, used, tormented, mistreated, treated unkindly, the biblical response is to pray for that person, to bless them, to do good to them. That's counterintuitive. That isn't the first thing that goes off in our mind. When someone hurts me, my first inclination inside of my mind is, hey, I got a great idea. Let me buy him a gift. That's not my reaction. Now, forgive me if you're more holy and sanctified than I am, and that's your normal response. That's not my response. And I think I'm talking to a whole bunch of people who identify with this counterintuitive nature that God asks us to come alongside and walk through. And that's my job, is to help you get untwisted, undistorted. And so real quick, I want you to look at some ways that we handle our past. Well, ways that I do, and I think that, well, you'll identify with. Number one in your notes, we have a tendency to bury it. How many would say, I know this isn't the part where you want to get interactive, but how many would say, I buried some stuff, ignored it, swept it under the rug, act like it didn't hurt me, just move right on past it real, real, real quick like. And let me tell you, when we bury these things, we do not get healed from these things. There's a myth out there that a lot of us have bought into, and it says this, time heals all wounds. Can I tell you something, guys? That is not a Bible verse. And time does not heal all wounds. It doesn't. Because time will never take the place of Christ. And Christ is, was, and forever will be the only healer that ever exists in all of humanity. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Jesus is the healer of all of our wounds. Right? And so when we bury it, when we bury those things, we postpone our healing. See, you can't bury it. The past can't be buried. It has to be healed. Watch this verse. Whoever conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. This says it pretty plainly, doesn't it? The idea of not burying it is not my idea. It's God's idea. He says, you can't conceal something and make progress at the same time. Now listen, just so you don't freak out. You don't have to tell all of your stuff to just anyone. And in fact, I would encourage you not to do it that way. Be selective in who you tell things to. But don't live under the misapprehension that as long as I keep it inside, it's going to get better, because this says whoever conceals this stuff, they don't prosper. They don't move forward. But whoever confesses and renounces those things, that's the one who finds mercy. Sounds a lot like James chapter 5 when he says, if you'll confess your faults or sins one to another. That's how you get healed. See, listen, I want you to write this down because it's not in your notes. I'll always be as sick as my secrets. See, you won't get healed past your secrets. The things that you keep in, that past stuff that you keep buried, it doesn't liberate you. It confines you. It doesn't free you. It doesn't heal you. It makes it worse. I will always be as sick as my secrets. The second one, I got to keep moving. This isn't true. We can beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. What a jerk I am. What a mess I am. I always mess stuff up. I can't ever do anything right. Nobody appreciates this. Nobody loves me. I just can't ever get it right. I'm just a screw up. I thank you for not saying amen to any of those things. I really appreciate that. But isn't this what we do? Isn't this what some of us do? We just beat ourselves up. Beat ourselves silly. Look at this verse. I'm drowning in the flood of my sins. They're a burden too heavy to bear because I have been foolish. I'm utterly worn out and crushed. My heart is troubled. I'm beating myself up. I beat myself up to the point where I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I've worn myself out. Look, you can bury it, but it isn't going to work. You can beat yourself up, but that isn't going to work. This next one is we blame others. We can choose to do that. We can choose to blame other people. It's my boss. He or she's a knucklehead, which is a problem if you're self-employed. And blame our spouse. Blame our kids. Oh, here's a good one. Blame the government. Blame somebody else. It can't be my fault. Got to be somebody else's fault. It can't be on me because I know me. I'm pretty marvelous. It can't be me. So we blame other people. Listen, if you do this with your past, it isn't gonna heal you up. It isn't gonna be taken care of. Look at this verse. The serpent deceived me and I ate. This goes all the way back to Genesis. Adam and Eve blaming the snake. Eve blamed the snake. And Adam blamed his wife. He says, this woman you gave me, and there's still some men out there. They still taking it that far. It's this woman's fault. It's this woman's fault, God. Spouses blaming each other. It's an ugly thing when we blame each other. Listen. None of those things are going to work. We can do them. We can try them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've done this too long. This does not get you past your past. This keeps you stuck in a cycle of behavior that is the opposite, the antithesis of freedom. It keeps you stuck and bound. Here's what we can do that will give us freedom. We can believe God. We can trust God. We can ask Him for His help in these matters, in this issue. We can choose. You can choose. Listen to me. You can choose to believe God. You don't have to do those other things. I'm going to tell you right now, you can keep on doing those things, but they're going to keep you stuck. But the moment you step out of those other ways into this counterintuitive way and say, I'm going to believe God, that is the moment right then and there where things begin to change in your world. Let me tell you something, that God only uses people with a past. But look at this verse. Therefore, he says, if anyone is in Christ, anybody in Christ here this morning? Amen. Then he is a new creation. The old has gone. Listen to me. The old has gone. This isn't just a nice idea. This is a reality in God's eye, the way he sees it. See, I got to untwist your thinking. I got to untwist your believing. God doesn't see you the way you see you. He doesn't see you through the lens of your past, because in God, that's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. The problem is these ghosts bring it back to you and you think it exists, but it's not there. How many think if God says it's gone, then it's gone? Amen. Yeah, that's true. Thank you. I'll amen myself if you don't get in on this, all right? And so look. Like when I was a kid, there was one of the very first movies I remember seeing two movies for the very first time, like going to the theater and having a theater experience. My very first movie theater by myself. How many remember when mom or dad dropped you off at the theater, or you drove to the drive-in? If you're in that category, you drove to the drive-in and saw a movie. Like the very first movie my mama ever dropped me off to was what used to be, or what became, the cheap seats at the corner of Dio and Mount Vernon Road. Oh yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And she dropped me off there, and she let me see the movie Gremlins. Some of you seen it. Scary movie. And I remember being kept awake at night thinking that one of those nasty gremlins was in my closet or under my bed. Like even as an adult, I remember thinking, that thing's going to reach itself up. Like, anybody else afraid to sometimes get out of your bed that something's going to grab you? No? Well, that's awkward. Let me tell you another story before I tell you that story. So my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's a sneaky sneakster. Like, she likes to do pranks and stuff. And so one night, I went to get into bed. I turned off the lights, and I didn't know she was under my bed. And she reached out, and she taught me the secret of scaring someone real good. There's two components: touch and sound. Why? You got to touch them and make a noise at the same time, and they're going to freak out, ladies and gentlemen. She reached out and grabbed me by the ankle, and she said, "Who?" And I went, "Hey, hey." Like, I mean, I went soprano almost. Like, I mean, it was embarrassing. And she recorded it. I want you to know something. That you have an enemy who wants you to think he exists, and he's going to use the recordings of your past to bring that stuff up into your present, to draw you back into that. But what God's trying to get over to you this morning, to untwist from your mind, is that thing is not there. Those gremlins are not under that bed. There's nothing there. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Right? Now, God only uses people with a past. And this is Paul. This is Paul. He had a past. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, but he had a past. Look at these verses. Paul went out and he killed Christians. He oversaw the execution of believers. And then he had an experience with Jesus. How many think that'd be tough to get past? Yeah. The very people you were against and killing, now all of a sudden, how many think that would hurt your reputation in the community? You go out and you do something violent against a certain group of people, they're probably going to be slow to accept you into the fold, into the group, right? Like, I do this with simple things. Like, sometimes I'll meet people and we'll get talking about football, and they'll tell me they're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I just want to, like, not get real close to them. Thank you for that one amen, wherever it was. Right? What am I saying? This is way deeper, more severe than that, ladies and gentlemen. Just look at how we as humans, just jokingly, but yet maybe in some truth to it, we put up walls of defense with people who do things contrary to what we think is okay. Some of y'all have unfriended people on Facebook because of something they posted. I'm not judging you for it. Do whatever you want to do. It's your social media. I'm just pointing out that isn't it easy to let differences separate us? I look and dive deep into who Paul is, and he did all of that stuff, and yet God chose him to use him to speak into our life the most amazing mystery in the history of the gospel unlocked through the Apostle Paul, the one who was out there killing believers. Listen, if God can use Paul, don't tell me he can't use you or your neighbor. Listen, so many times we attach to people we don't like, we attach to them God's displeasure. In other words, we think because we don't like them, God don't like them. But I want you to understand something. just because you don't like them, that doesn't mean God can't use them. And let me just help you with this. Just because people don't like you, that doesn't mean God can't use you. Look at Paul. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me in abundance, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And he goes on and he says, you need to get this in your mind. If forgiveness can be solidified in Paul, it needs to be solidified in you. And the action step, ladies and gentlemen, in getting past your past is stop trying to earn forgiveness. Stop trying to work for that forgiveness. Forgiveness is a free gift that God gives because of his grace, not because of your actions. I stopped trying to get that. Some of you are wrestling and fighting and saying, I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. No. You don't need forgiveness. You need faith. You need faith that God has forever settled the issue of your sin and stopped carrying the shame of it. Someone says, you know, one of the things I struggle with is, you know, I gave my life to Christ and I've committed some sins. I've done some things after that. And good. I understand. Ask for forgiveness. The Bible says that when we sin and we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and all cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Make us white like snow. It's been done away with, but people struggle with. But does God forgive my future sins? I've been asked this many times. Does God forgive my future sins? My simple answer is yes. Why would I say yes? Because when Christ died for you, all your sins were in the future. They hadn't happened yet. If they hadn't happened then did he just like only forgive you so much? And then you had to sort the rest out for yourself? No. His sacrifice was once and for all and covered the entire subject of what we would ever do, right? So stop trying to earn that. Look, it's for by his grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works. You can't earn this. You can't get this for yourself. Wonder why he set it up that way. I think Paul tells us so that no one can boast. You didn't do this for yourself. If you did, I know me and I know us. We'd brag about it. He set this up so that you couldn't get any of the glory. You couldn't get any of the credit. You couldn't get any of the recognition. It wasn't yours to boast in. This is what God did, and God did it alone. And I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't share his glory with anybody. It's his and nobody else's. Amen. Let's keep moving. He says, so what's our response? Freely you received, freely give. So listen, if you didn't have to earn your forgiveness, listen. Don't make other people earn your forgiveness. It gets quiet in here when you start talking like that. Well, I'll forgive them when they deserve it. When's that going to be? Well, they got to do this. Wait. Is that what you had to do to get forgiveness? Because my Bible says that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you and forgave you. While you were in your mess, while you were in your filth, while you were in your lies and cheating and all that stuff that we had attached to us, while we were doing that, he freely gave us. And since he did, freely you've received, so you're supposed to freely give. That's our response. And number two, that we can get past our past by defeating every lie with the truth. We can defeat every lie with the truth. Let me just read a scripture and I'll wrap this up in just a minute. For this very reason, Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith. You circle that for me if you're taking notes or underline it. Do something to highlight that for when you go back to it. Add to your faith. See, listen, no matter how long you've been in this, no matter how long you've been a Christ follower, no matter how long you've had confidence toward God, conviction in God, a firm persuasion about who God is, there's always something, ladies and gentlemen, that you can add to your faith. In other words, I have not arrived. You have not arrived. We have not yet arrived. There is something else that we can add to our faith. And he goes through the list: to your faith, goodness; to goodness, knowledge; to knowledge, self-control; to self-control, perseverance; to perseverance, godliness; and to godliness, mutual affection; and to mutual affection, he ends it with love. Because here's what you need to understand: faith doesn't work without love, and love is the thing that casts out every fear, and fear is almost always attached to a lie. So faith and love combined together create this explosive force that blitz lies out of our life. We just say, God, you're doing something. I trust you. I know you love me. And so I'm going to walk in love, and I'm going to let every lie be defeated and fall flat at the feet of Jesus. He goes on and says this: for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, watch what they'll do. They'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. How many of you want to be effective and productive in God's kingdom? So you add these things, and that keeps you, that gets the past in the past. It keeps the past from rendering you ineffective and unproductive as we walk in this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them, these things added. Stay with me, I'm almost through. Daniel's gonna come and help me right now. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, watch, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. When you add these things to your faith, you defeat every lie with the truth. It cripples the past and causes the chains of the past to break off of your life once and for all. Let me give you the last one and I'm going to close. I'm going to ask you right now to allow God to turn it around for good. To turn it around for good. Let me give you this verse. You can put those things off to the side, because I want to talk to you for a minute, and I don't want you to be distracted. There's a story in the Old Testament about Joseph, and Joseph was his dad's favorite, favored by his dad. Many of you know the story. He got a gift, a coat of many colors. His brothers got jealous. And his brothers created a plot to fake Joseph's death and sell him into slavery, and to cause their father to believe that Joseph had been murdered. So they throw him in a pit. You can go and read this in Genesis. Take his coat, and they dip it in blood, and they bring it teary-eyed to their dad. They say, Joseph is dead. Would anybody else kind of be in the same boat with me, that if that was a part of your story, that'd be kind of hard to come back from? Like, your own family did that to you? God did some things in Joseph's life to where he was elevated to the most powerful position in the kingdom. And it came out that Joseph's family, in a time of famine, actually needed to come back to Joseph, and they didn't know it was Joseph. And Joseph is the one that helped them through. And this verse is part of that conversation. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Here's what I want you to know: that every pain, everything that you walk through, every difficulty that you had to persevere in, it was never God's intention to harm you. It was God's intention to use it so that you could help others, so that you could overcome. He said, I didn't do it. They did it to harm you, but God was going to use it to help you. He's going to use it to make you stronger. He's going to use it to not only help you, but those, look at this, those who hurt you in the first place. Like, this is absolutely amazing that no matter what has happened in your world, ladies and gentlemen, God will always have the last word. He will always have the last word. And your story is not done yet. You're only a part of the way through. Some of you might be a quarter of the way through. Some of you might be halfway through. Some of you might be three quarters of the way through. Some of you might be on the last page. But here's the good news. It's not over yet. And God still has time to turn it around for your good. He's still got the goods. He's still got the stuff. He can still turn that thing that whatever was used was meant to destroy you. He can use the thing that was meant to destroy you and use it to destroy your enemies. He can use it to destroy all those plans, all of those ideas. He can use it and he can turn that past around. Listen to me. You do not have to be held captive by your past one single moment longer. Right now, I believe right now, God is turning some things around. God's turning around some financial woes. He's turning around some relational woes. He's turning around some physical challenges. He's turning some things around for some people in this place. He's turning it around. He's turning it around. He's turning it around. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it and you believe it, because I'm supposed to untwist your thinking. Remember the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years? What about the man that was born blind 30 years? The man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. The man at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, he was there 40 years. How many of you think after 40 years, you might be tempted to lose hope that it's ever going to change? That's ever going to be any different? Some of you can't hardly make it 40 minutes without wondering, is it ever going to be any different? 40 years? Watch. In 40 years, they've gone by, and I promise you, that guy was content to just say, this is my life. This is the way it's always got to be. And then Peter and John come, and they say, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man didn't just get up and walk. He went out leaping and shouting and praising God. Why? Why? Because God can turn it around. He can turn it around. He wants to turn it around. What's standing between you and it being turned around? You saying, God, I invite you in. Turn this around. But here's the problem that I run up against so many times. People fight for their right to stay stuck. My problem's too big for you to minimize like that. I'm not minimizing your problem. I'm minimizing the power of your problem measured against the power of my God. That's what I'm doing. And some of you are like, no, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to it. Good, keep it. That's not my call. Stay. Keep that thing twisted. But if you just let God untwist it, let God untwist it, doesn't mean that what happened to you wasn't devastating. It just means that the power of God is greater than our pain of our past, and that he can lift us up and take us to a place that we never thought we could go. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Somebody right now, maybe watching online, in this place, we're not going to be in a rush. We're not going to hurry past what God wants to do here. Some of you are having a hard time letting go of something in the past. And maybe you're thinking something that you don't need to think, which is, well, if I let that go, then that just condones everything that happened to me. No, 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 no. 100% not true. What you're saying by letting go of that and getting past that is, I refuse to let that thing have control and power over me anymore. I'm going to give it to God. Some of you are saying you're wavering between. I don't know if I can do this, but man, I've gone through some things. And God's healed me up, and God's been good to me, and I'm trying to really get clear on whether or not I really want to say yes and give Him everything. In other words, God wants to use the pain of your past to help others go free. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't know. I want to do it, but I don't want to do it. I want to do it, but I'm not sure if I can do it. I think it would be good, but what if somebody doesn't like that I do that? What if they don't like what I say? What if I have to open myself up and it opens that wound? Listen. There's some people in here, you've been free of some things in your past. And God wants to use you to help others get free of similar things. And today, now is the time to settle that. Now is the time to settle that thing that's been hurting you. Now is the time to say, I'm going to let go of that past. I'm going to not be haunted by the ghosts of Christmas past. I'm not going to be haunted by that stuff anymore. It happened, but it can be gone from your life. So here we go, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Say, Josh, there's some stuff in my past. Today's my day. I'm going to settle this. Right now, I'm going to settle it. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat or come forward. But you say, Josh, I'm going to settle it. And right now, I'm letting God, as I sit in this atmosphere, I'm letting God turn it around for my good. If that's you all over in this place and watching online, I want you to just lift up your hand to God and say, that's me. I'm getting it settled right now. Right now. Do it right now. Come on, let's go. If that's you, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Don't wait any longer. Just come now and settle this thing and let God do a work in your world. That's right now. Let's let Him do it. That's awesome. Thank you. All over the place, people said yes to that. Heads bowed and eyes closed real quick. Josh, God's got something in my life, and I've been through a past, and I don't know if I'm qualified, but I feel like I have this unexplainable thing in my heart, this compassion and passion, this drive and determination, these desires to help others in the same thing. But I don't know how to go about it. And I'm kind of scared to say yes on one hand, but yet I'm wanting to say yes right on the other. If that's you, I know you feel unqualified. I do too. Feel uncertain about it. But you say, Josh, I've been through some stuff, and I know God's got a call on my life to help other people. If that's you all over in this place, just throw up your hand right now and say, I'm going to say yes to that. I'm going to settle this thing right here, right now. Just throw your hand up where you are. Just keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Keep going. If that's anybody else, come on, let's go. That's awesome. Father, I thank you for every person in this place. You can put them down, guys. For every heart, for every hand, for every person watching online who said yes. For every person in this room that said yes. Lord, I think there's other people who wanted to. And Lord, I just ask you, everybody, every heart, every hand, whether a hand was extended or not, but just a heart was extended, say, God, it's time for me to settle this. I ask you right now to give them clarity, to give them direction, to give them, increase their passion, increase their love for other people, increase their capacity. Help them as they walk through this journey in this stage. Father, I give you thanks for doing this. So much more. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.